Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Cameron Wolf of the NFL Network. Cam, good morning. What's going on, man?
Good morning. How you feeling?
We're awesome. First off, happy belated birthday to you. Welcome to the 30 Club. I joined that last year. Has your body started hurting yet? How we feeling?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I went to Cabo to celebrate. My wife took me out here. And every morning, especially after day three or four, was like, it was rough. You know, you can't drink like you used to, you know, all day, and the sun doesn't move the same way. Yeah, I'm feeling every bit of 30.
Yeah, I really feel bad for you guys.
You know? I'm sure you do, Joe. Thank you. So, Cam, we've spent a lot of the show this morning talking about the Titans. Obviously, reports out there that they could at least be mulling over the idea of moving up to number three. And Anthony Richardson is a name that's come up a lot. When you watch Anthony Richardson, what do you see, and how do you think his skill set translates to the NFL?
Yeah, I had one scout describe it to me in like a very vivid term. They said that Anthony Richardson could be the best quarterback in football in 3 years, or he could also be out of the league. That's what his tape says on the skill set. And, you know, it's a wide range of variants, but I do think there's a lot to get encouraged about with Anthony Richardson if you trust your coaching staff, right? You got to have a coaching staff that you trust that you're going to mold it, because, you know, I've spent a lot of time kind of learning about this kid, learning about what he can and can't do, what he did not do. And the first thing that jumps out at you when you look at his skill set and his numbers is the fact that he was 54% completion rate in college, right? And so it took me a while to get past the fact that how can you be a good starting quarterback when you had that number? But if you dive deeper, you see a lot of the drops on tape, a lot of the routes they ran at Florida, a lot of the mistakes he made by either throwing the ball too soft or too hard, try to get it to a particular receiver. And it gives me promise that, hey, if you're willing to take some time with him, it may take a year or two, and this guy could be a really good player, but you got to be willing to take some risks. And so I actually talked to a coach at the Combine who thought that there would be more Anthony Richardson style quarterbacks, not necessarily the style and physicality he has, but guys who have 1 year of starting ability like he does, and a lot more question marks. And you're going to have to see, what style are you comfortable with? Do you want a quarterback who has a little bit more polish as a passer, but maybe a little bit less upside? Or do you want to take the big swing like Anthony Richardson? And so if the Titans moved up to three for Anthony Richardson, you better believe they feel great about their ability to develop him into being a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, and that's a great point. A lot of people made that point who, you know, dug in on Richardson. That offense does not have the quick access RPO stuff that a lot of offenses do that kind of inflate completion percentages too. I mean, that's an important point to make.
Yep.
Okay, so on the other,
a boom or bust offense there. So, you know, that's for better or for worse, right?
Yes, exactly. Now, on the, I guess, kind of the flip side of this, to me, a guy who I think the floor is definitely higher, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. Great, I don't know. But Hendon Hooker, what do you think about him? Do you think he ends up getting into the first round? And what have you heard about him? What do you think about him?
Yeah, I do. I think Hendon Hooker's a first-round pick. You know, it's a tough evaluation for a lot of teams because of two things. One, the age element that bothers teams a lot, but the reality is you see quarterbacks playing until they're 40. And so if you're drafting a 25-year-old Hendon Hooker, maybe it may bother you if it was a running back position a little bit more. But for me, the age does not bother me as much, but that is something that some scouts hold against him. And the other part is that he looked like maybe at some points in the season the best quarterback in college football. But they have to translate the fact that he's in this wide open Volunteers offense where they're running their receivers essentially outside of the numbers and running a lot of routes that maybe they run a little bit more complexity in the league. And so there's a little bit of an evaluation there. But I do think he has a little bit less boom or bust than your Anthony Richardson, like you were mentioning. And so I do think that you're going to see a team, whether it be a team who trades back into the first round or even a team like a Tampa or Minnesota or New Orleans in that back end of the first round who says, hey, we can draft Hendon Hooker, let him take his time off that ACL, and we feel good about where his recovery is. I actually talked to his quarterback coach, Steve Calhoun, about two or three weeks ago for NFL Network, And he said that he had been cleared to throw standing up, not move around much, but throw standing up 4 months after that ACL surgery. And so their plan was for him to be full go for training camp. Now, these pre-draft hopes are always a little bit more optimistic than they are with camp. But, you know, if they're on that track, then maybe you're getting the point where he doesn't start the season on PUP, and that obviously helps his chances to be a first-round pick.
Cameron Wolf from NFL Network with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Cam, just from your viewpoint, as you look at the Titans, obviously they lost seven in a row at the end last year. They've had an astronomical amount of injuries they've dealt with the last couple of years and have made some changes this offseason. How do you view the Titans and where they are right now with their franchise as they try to take a step forward here with Rand Carthon coming in?
Yeah, they're sort of in a fork in the road, right? This is a team that, and you know this, Joe, your listeners know this, is they have been very competitive for, what, five, six years, but they hadn't got to the mountaintop. And now there feels like there's a pullback. Everybody wants to use the versions of the R word, whether it's rebuild, retool, whatever fancy word you want to put on it. Clearly, they're saying, hey, we got to reevaluate where we are. And you saw a lot of the older guys they got rid of who have been staples of the team, whether it be Taylor Lewan or Ben Jones, and obviously a lot of the speculation on Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. I think what you're going to see is Rand Carthon put his flavor on the team. And so you know a big part of that has to be redoing this offense. You know, they've got a lot of options at 11. You know, they could get their offensive tackle there, whether it be a Paris Johnson or a Broderick Jones. I like either of those guys for them. You slot those guys in at left tackle. Heck, if you want to put them at right tackle, either way, you feel pretty good that they're going to be 6, 8, 10-year starters there. Or do you make that big swing that you mentioned? Do you feel great about this being the draft that you go get an Anthony Richardson or a Will Levis? I think those are the decisions we got to see where Rand Carthon is. But I do think that Titans fans probably have to recalibrate their thinking of this team, because even if this is a team that's still led by Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry in 2023, that time is running out. So this offense and this team will look very differently 365 days from now. And so I think that's the hard part, because, you know, as fans, you always want the good. You always want the playoff contention and the 12-4, 12-5 seasons. Well, as you got a new GM, as you got a little bit of transition, I think the 2023 is going to look like that, and it may not, you know, it may not end in a playoff run, but you've got to trust your GM if you believe in him and what he's trying to build here. And I think this year is going to be, hey, we're going to try to see who's a part of our new core, who's going to be with us in 2 or 3 years when we're hoping to make this new run.
And of course, you know, they've got to really address receiver after the trade of AJ Brown last year. I know Jackson Smith and Jigba is a guy who ran well at his pro day, Cam. So maybe a little bit elevated view of him. I think he could be a really good player. But it's an interesting draft. It seems like there's a lot of depth at receiver, but maybe not the high end talent that we've seen in some recent drafts. What do you think of him? And basically, just the top of this class of receivers and where they slot into this draft.
Yeah, we've been spoiled at receivers the last, what, 3 or 4 years. You got some of the best receivers in the league coming out of these recent drafts, like immediately. You get Justin Jefferson, you get your Jamar Chases, you get your Jalen Waddles, all these guys coming out in the last couple of years, and there's no one of those guys in the draft. Like, I don't think that there ends up being a top 10 receiver that's taken in this draft, which I don't think that's happened in the last 3 or 4 years. And so, I don't know that this is a draft where I would be giddy about getting the first round receiver. But like you mentioned, if you got a pick in that second or third round, even early in day three, you can still find a guy who can be an impact player. Maybe he's not a number one for you, but he could be a really good number two, number three. I mean, a couple of guys you mentioned are really good. If I'm the Titans, I want to get some speed and explosiveness for that offense. It was very like lackluster in a lot of departments, but I noticed how slow they were on offense last year. And so I would love if they were looking, even if it was the second round pick, if, you know, the Tennessee kid, Jalen Hyatt is still there. I would love that for them. Even a kid like Tyler Scott from Cincinnati, he may be more of a third round pick. I like him too. And I'm a Houston kid, so I got to put a little homer love. Tank Dell is an undersized kid.
Oh, yeah.
There. He may be a third or fourth round pick. He's a game changer as far as his speed as a receiver, as a gadget player, and as a returner. And so, to me, one of those style receivers helps you open up the offense, helps you open up things for Treylon Burks, who you hope you're going to get a little bit more from in year two. And if it's Derrick Henry there, it hopefully it clears those boxes up. So to me, that would be the priority if I was Tennessee, finding a speed receiver, even if it ends up being only a number two.
Well, Cam, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Happy birthday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, fellas. Thank you.
Absolutely. Cameron Wolf from the NFL Network, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 6:45 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds have their first road series against the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Also, make sure you tune in later this morning here on Robbie and Rex Road at 8:45 to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets for a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. We'll have Predators General Manager David Poyle coming up at 8:30. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And interesting to get Cam Wolf's opinion there on Anthony Richardson, and it kind of lines up with some things that you've heard from Anthony Richardson. People that have taken a look at his film see the chance for him to become great at the NFL level, but the range of what it could be, pretty wide when it comes to Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, and I think what Cam hit on there, you know, it's the same, like we were talking about earlier, the situation. What's the situation? I mean, what's the supporting cast? What's the coaching? What's the development? But also so much of it is with any of these prospects, how do they react to being, you know, in the NFL? I mean, it's you go back to recruiting. You know, you have a five-star recruit. Well, if the five-star recruit is in the weight room and study hall and all that, then much better chance of unfolding that way than if they're in the bar all the time, the pool halls. I don't know if they still do like pool hall thing. Is that we're going back to the days of wearing suits to ball games?
Yes.
But you know what I'm saying.
Pool hall.
Yeah. Well. So, yeah. Okay. I'm dating myself again. But
I know what you're talking about.
Robbie and Cam are sitting here whining about being 30. So you know I'm salty today.
Body hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that's tough. I'd give anything to be 30 again. Yeah, that's also an interesting point. You know, you think about in terms of a narrative, I guess, or a topic that we've had on this station about the Titans quarterback coaching. You know, I guess because Vrabel's a defensive coach. You know, the Titans would be. I mean, like, I'll go back on that again. If you actually believe that, like, the Titans are in a bad situation of developing quarterbacks here, then I think you should probably just fire Vrabel. Right, I mean, I think you should move on from the head coach if you don't think that, you know, he can hire OCs and QB coaches and whatnot who can do the job well. I mean, I think that's kind of stupid. But look, around the league, there are different levels of that. I mean, if I owned a team and I had like Kyle Shanahan as my coach, I'd probably feel pretty strong about being able to develop quarterbacks and better than other places. So I mean, there's still varying levels of that, but. But if you're the Titans and you believe you have someone, even if that quarterback is a project, to me, you have to have the confidence that you can also develop the quarterback.
He brought up Nathaniel Dell, Tank Dell from Houston. Titans actually have a visit scheduled with him, a top 30 draft visit. Tank Dell out of Houston, he's 5'8". He's listed at 5'8", 165 pounds. He put up almost 1,400 yards last year, 17 touchdowns. He's got good explosiveness. I mean, there was an article on Tank Dell yesterday. ML Football put it out there that a scout said he's the best route runner in the draft and one of the best route runners that we've seen in the last few years in the draft coming out. So, obviously, that's good. The knock is he's 5'8", 165 pounds. But Tank Dell out of Houston, very productive last year and very intriguing in this draft and apparently visiting with the Titans.
Bryce Young thrown to Tank Dell. Just if you could make it like 7-on-7, it'd be just dominant. No hitting.
Vrabel said he wanted to get faster. So
this would be a way.
This would be a way.
I do find that intriguing that one of their 30 visits is on him. I mean, I think one way or another, somebody is going to come out of this draft for them who just flat out can run past people. I don't see how you how you don't do that if you're the Titans.
It was interesting to hear, I think it was Kuharsky that brought this up, or maybe it was TD on Friday that brought this up last week about the Titans. Maybe is their philosophy changing a little bit in terms of how they view receivers? Like they've talked about their wide receivers being big and being able to block, and we've kind of joked about the blocking part of it, but in all seriousness, we know
you did. Like, that's important. I think it's very important.
Yeah, I did joke about it. I will continue to joke about it. But like, could a change in philosophy be happening there? Not that they're just like abandoning receivers blocking, but you know, is it maybe not the most important thing when you look and say, okay, well, that guy's really fast and he gets open and catches the football. Maybe we should try to go get that guy. Like, does it the Titans receiver doesn't have to be 6'1" and 225 pounds in order to be productive? I know they've got Kyle Phillips.
I was going to say,
so already changed a little
bit. They
already
have Kyle Phillips.
But could that be something they continue to look at?
They also had Adam Humphries before him.
They did.
And Taywan Taylor wasn't huge. So
he wasn't.
You know.
Khalif Raymond?
Right. So, yeah.
I mean, so you're like, saying like, I just made all that up?
Well, no, I think we've already seen some. It's not like it's been all a bunch of huge, you know, Racy McMath guys, you know, in the room.
Sure.
So I also still feel like Vrabel's going to value physicality at all levels of his football team and blocking and stuff like that. It's an important part of football. Blocking, tackling, throwing, catching.
Cody Hollister hadn't ended up anywhere so far.
Stunning.
Wonder if that changes.
Somebody, there should be a package of Hollister Swaim on somebody's offense. You know, get out of town.
Stunning.
Yeah. LD says, is it possible they brought in Charles London to develop the next QB? Possibly Richard. Well, yeah, I mean, Charles London is here too. I mean, that's part of his job,
sure.
Right? So, now, of course.
Doesn't necessarily have to be the next QB, but.
Right.
They do have Ryan Tannehill, and Malik Willis is here. So.
Well, that's right. I mean, he's here to help Malik Willis right now, we know for sure. I mean, obviously, when you hire someone you don't like, the Titans knew, and we will be having Anthony Richardson soon. So, but yeah, that's the thing. That guy, and by the way, they have Pat O'Hara still on staff now, and I always forget his new title, but he's still here. So they have multiple QB coaches, and I guess you could say too many cooks in the kitchen, but I think they got plenty of brain power when it comes to doing these things. Just because your head coach is defensively oriented doesn't mean you can't develop quarterbacks.
He's past game analyst.
Thank you. PGA.
Whatever that means.
He's PGA.
Gordon from Nashville on the text line says, if the Titans move up to number 3, the quarterback I hope they take would be whichever one could play offensive tackle. This is from Gordon from Nashville, which would probably still be Anthony Richardson.
I was going to say, I think Richardson probably, he could certainly be a heck of a pulling guard. There's no doubt about that.
He could. He's Caleb on the text line says, what do you think the Titans could get back or could get for trading back from the 11th pick, and what other team would be interested in that spot?
You can't plan on it, right? Let's say a Richardson is around and the Titans don't want him and he's still there. Let's say a Levis. Let's say, I mean, maybe like a Jalen Carter, somebody, and he falls like some people think. And I think it would have to be a quarterback or like him, right?
Yeah.
In all likelihood. I mean, you never know. I mean, there's times when teams will want to bump up and it's like, okay, we got our guy. Let's get him now. You just can't predict it. You can't plan for it. You can't expect it. Could it happen? It could, but the lower you get, you know, the less likely that someone's going to want to jump into that spot.
By the way, Jalen Carter not visiting with teams that don't have a top 10 pick, apparently, according to his agent. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, he seems to be doing a lot of stupid stuff.
A lot of stupid stuff that is happening. I'm pretty convinced now he's falling out of the top 10.
I mean, that's exactly the kind of thing you do if you want to make sure you fall out of the top 10, is only visit with teams that have top 10 pick.
Pretty dumb.
But, what are you doing? Like, but that's also, I put it on his agent.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
Yeah, just absolutely stupid.
You already have all these other things that people are questioning, and now you're going to do
alienate
that?
Alienate people? Just
that's
very dumb.
That's bad agenting right there.
David Poile coming up next, Preds general manager. We'll get into the Preds, their loss last night against Dallas, the game tonight against Vegas. Speaking of the Preds, if you want to win tickets in our lower bowl section 102, just text the keyword Superbook, all one word. Once again, that's Superbook, all one word, to the game text line 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered for your chance to win. You can win with 1025-1063 the game, and you can win with Superbook. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Predators General Manager David Poyle, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Lots of thoughts on the text line, Joe, of the Titans like basically being a graveyard for the quarterback position, apparently.
Heard from McEwen, Titans where QBs come to die. Titans have killed more QBs' careers than the plague. You know what this is reminiscent of is the discussion we had yesterday about the college programs.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's like, oh, Ohio State quarterbacks never do anything in the NFL. Well, who was the coach? Well, so you're talking about like when Woody Hayes, Art Schlichter? Like, what are we talking about here? So because like Jeff Fisher's, you know, offense, which by the way, had Steve McNair, who was a great quarterback, but like some past coach means anything now about right. what the quarterback situation is or like developing quarterbacks or anything?
Right.
Again, there are some things, if ownership is bad enough, that which means they make bad, you know, being cheap, crappy, awful judgment decisions at all levels of an organization, like the Lions ownership, okay, then you can say, well, basically, like it's just going to go poorly.
Right.
But I don't think that is how to evaluate this ownership.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators General Manager David Poyle, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, David, obviously, it's a huge week for your group. You played great on Saturday against St. Louis. Did not get the result you wanted last night against Dallas and back at it tonight against Vegas. So lots of games coming very quickly for your team this week against some of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, it's getting to be pretty tough. Last night was a hard game in Dallas. I thought we started out pretty well in the game. We had a couple of chances, another opportunity on the power play, which is just it's struggled a bit with more of the big guys out. And right now I like everything about our game except we are just having a real hard time scoring. I mean, if we don't get that lead or we don't convert, as I said earlier, like in a power play, it's really tough against the big boys. We had a good game against St. Louis on Saturday where we scored 6 goals, and that felt really good. But the other games, we're pretty well playing like a 2-1 type of a game, so there's not much margin for error right now. In the as we see Dallas fighting for first place, so that win puts them in a tie for first place in our division. Vegas tonight is first place in their division, so the hits keep on coming. So we've got our work really cut out for us in these last 6 games to have an opportunity or a chance to make the playoffs.
David, we talked to you last week. You know, I know Roman was on the trip, and it sounded like maybe he was possibly close to returning. Has there been a setback since then? Do you anticipate a return from him?
I anticipate a return from him. He was on the trip in Dallas also yesterday, and there's an outside chance he could play today. So I really feel we're day to day, and it's just hard to forecast exactly when he might be able to come back. But I do think he will come back. I wish it was tonight. If not, I hope it's Thursday. On the other injury front, it just doesn't seem like anybody's really close. Forsberg is skating. He might start skating with the team starting tomorrow if we have practice. That's the other problem with playing so many games in so few days is like we're in a cycle of back-to-backs right now, or 3 games to 4 nights. So, likelihood tomorrow, Wednesday, will probably be a day off for the players. So, it's difficult for these injured players to get get the reps, if you will, with the team, make contact those different things. So, not a lot of help coming. It doesn't look like.
David, as you watch this young group continue to play, and we've talked to you about individual guys over the course of the past couple of weeks, like Evangelista and Novak and the production that they've had. I guess what have been your thoughts on the group as a whole? It's a lot of responsibility and playing time for some of these young kids that have come up. How do you think they've handled things physically, but also the mental grind of an NHL season, especially this time of year?
Very good. I'm very proud of how we've played after, you know, specifically after the trading deadline, where we trade away four of our more veteran and better hockey players. You know, this could have been a lot worse than it currently is. I feel good about the future in terms of the younger guys that we've started to integrate into our hockey club, the type of players they are, the type of people that they are. I think the culture on our team is good. I think the chemistry is good right now. I think we are, you know, clearly building to the future right now. So it is that clearly that step back that we took with the moves that we made at the trading deadline. But I am pretty optimistic about the future. It might not be just overnight, if you will, but I do think we've got a lot of good things going for us. So, you know, as I just said at the beginning of the interview, one of the things that we're lacking right now is our goal scoring. But I think when you put back into the lineup Duchesne and Forsberg, to play them either in the top line, or say we had two offensive lines, if you put one on one line and one in another line, I have to believe that would make a huge difference in where our team is, you know, currently, and what our chances certainly would have increased to make the playoffs had they been healthy.
Is it fair to say, David, that Novak has kind of overachieved this year? Has he gone beyond maybe what profile or expectations, even maybe like a year ago for him?
Well, it certainly appears that way. I mean, you know, we've had him in our system for the last 3 years down in Milwaukee. We've given him some opportunities, I think about 20 to 25 games in the past couple of years. But even ourselves, we did not give him that opportunity to be a full-time player in the National Hockey League. And it wasn't until we, you know, decided to go in a little bit different direction this year, and then eventually making those trades, that we gave him the opportunity that he presently has. And so, yes, I guess he's overachieved. But, you know, when you're jotting down your lineup for next year, I mean, where do you put him in our lineup when you got Glass is improving, you know, young center, you got Parsonen, who's we really like, who's been out for a while. You got Ryan Johansson coming back, and we got Colton Sissons that's playing, I guess you'd say, in our checking line. So once again, I really like our depth, and you know, Novak is gonna, you know, like everybody else, he's gonna have to prove it again, you know, next year against a healthy and a deeper lineup. But so far so good. Really like what he brings to the table. So shame on us for not seeing that a little bit earlier.
Preds General Manager David Poile with us here on Robbie and Rex Row. David, obviously there's a lot of excitement about Yaroslav Askarov and the future of what he could be. And his numbers down in Milwaukee are really good, especially for a guy playing his first year of full pro hockey. What have been kind of the reports and the you know, the feedback from Milwaukee that you've gotten on the Askarov front?
Excellent. Looks like he's a you know, terrific prospect. A good person, fitting really well with the players down there, assimilating to North America very well, learning the language, all the idiosyncrasies of North America and the pro hockey and travel and playing, you know, in an 80 game schedule. Again, there's some things that he needs to what we kind of refer to as like tighten up his game a little bit. I mean, he's spectacular. He's exciting the way he plays, and we certainly don't want to, you know, change that. But there's just certain nuances to the goaltending that our coaches are working on with him. And again, I think he's just in a great place here in Milwaukee right now, and he certainly looks like he's going to be a really good player sometime in the future.
So David, in terms of John Hines here, not just this season, but especially since the training deadline, how would you evaluate, you know, the job he's done with this team?
I think excellent. This year in the whole, like right in this, during this interview, we're just talking about the basically from the trading deadline on and all the younger players. This year has not been a good year, and you know, we can talk about the team, and we can talk about individuals, and we can talk about living up to expectations. And I think, you know, we all fall short in that area, whether we correctly set the expectations or not. That's my job. I felt that based on last year that we should be we should be better, especially with the addition of Niederreiter and McDonough, but that was not the case. And I think the coaches have done a really good job, you know, handling all of the situations, especially, I say, ups and downs, but, you know, maybe a lot more downs. We've had a lot of players that, you know, again, had career years a year ago that haven't, you know, played anywhere near that this year. So, you know, that's why we went into made all the trades and, you know, where we are. But I think the coaches have handled it well. I think they're right now, the thing that stands out to me the most is the improvement of our younger players and the development of our younger players. That's certainly, I should give, you know, some kudos to Carl Taylor and the staff down in Milwaukee for that. But I also think our coaches are doing a great job of putting these guys in positions where they can succeed. So all in all, under, you know, a tough situation and where this year was headed to how I feel and hopefully others feel about the future of this hockey club, I think they've done a real good job.
Well, David, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck coming up tonight against Vegas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Predators General Manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight at home against the Vegas Golden Knights. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. That is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-106. It's that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. No change in the standings from yesterday. None of us picked Cal Foot to score the goal yesterday. So
stunning.
There is that. I'm still in first with 16, listeners at 14, Joe at 11, Michelle at 7, and we are running out of time here in the competition. So hot and heavy coming down the stretch here on Preds Pick to Click. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bobby, today's participant. Bobby, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Yeah, guys, I'm going to try Evangelista tonight. Hopefully he can get it done for me.
There we go, Evangelista the selection. Bobby, thanks for calling in.
So appreciate it, guys.
Luke Evangelista is off the board. Michelle Knezovic, you were up first today. Evangelista has been selected. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
This has been really hard for me these last couple weeks, and I don't think I have actually scored a point in months.
It's been a while.
In this game, I'm going to go – I'll go Tommy Novak again.
Tommy Novak, the selection. So Evangelista and Novak are off the board. I am up next. You know what? It's his former team. I think he's going to have a little pop to him tonight. Give me Cody Glass. I think power play goal from Cody Glass tonight. So Evangelista, Novak, and Cody Glass, he gets it done against his former team tonight. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click for the Predators.
All right, they're not going to get shut out at home.
They're not. I don't think.
I guess we'll keep it with the young guns. Tomasino.
Philip Tomasino, the selection. So Evangelista, Novak, Glass, and Tomasino. Go back to October and let us read off this list see what we thought about that. But that is the selections that Preds picked to click.
Crushing in
Milwaukee Admirals picked to click.
Admirals picked to click.
Just absolutely nailing it.
Yeah. Ads picked to click.
Ads picked to click. Speaking of Philip Tomasino, Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs starting at 6 o'clock. You can see your Preds star players up close and personal, plus have your chance to get autographs and pictures. Mark Jankowski and Philip Tomasino, the player guest tomorrow, so looking forward to that. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dolce Vita, tequila pure and simple. Preds in action tonight. Didn't go well for them last night, Joe, against Dallas. They fall 5-1 to the Stars, and the beginning of an incredibly difficult week, not starting well for the Predators. Now Dallas in first place in the Central. They're kind of going back and forth with Minnesota and Colorado and all those teams, separated by about 1 point. First place Vegas tonight, first place Carolina coming up on Thursday, and then Winnipeg on Saturday. So now the question is, with two games at home, albeit against very good teams, can you find a way to hang in this thing to make that Winnipeg game important on Saturday.
Yeah, I think you got it. You got it. At least you have to get two, right? You have to get 2 points. You want more than 2 points out of these next two games, but you have to get two. I'm not good at math, but based on my math,
well, you'd be at 86 at that point if you get two, and Winnipeg and Calgary play each other tomorrow. So you would probably need Calgary to win that game, and then I guess both of them be at 89. So then you'd be 3 points back of both of them.
Still with – wait, would you still have one game in hand then at that point?
You would have – I think you'd be – yeah, one game.
Right.
So no, you'd be evened up. They'll be evened up on Saturday. So Winnipeg plays one more, so that would put them at 78. You play tonight, put you at 77. Thursday, put you at 78. So you'll both be at 78.
And, you know, I mean, so if you get to that, then, you know, you go win in their building, you go win at Calgary, you're in. You're still in it. It's a tall order. I mean, all of it's a tall order. But, you know, at least you can boil it down and it's right there in front of you.
John in Thompson Station on the text line says, I've heard Poyle, Hines, and y'all say that young Preds need to get bigger and stronger, which appears to be normal. I don't hear that about young NFL players, besides having the young Preds work out in the offseason with Derrick Henry. What can the Preds do to speed up the guys' physical development? Now, one thing to keep in mind, a lot of these younger guys we talk about are 20, yeah, 19.
They get drafted at 18.
21.
Right.
So it's different.
So like, it's, I mean, like college football, NFL players that have at least 3 years in a college football weight program.
Right. So it's a little bit different that way. Also, it's just, I mean, it's a different game. I mean, you don't need to be 255 pounds of muscle running around there on the ice. If you can be, great. If you just keep up that way, have at it. Knock sure. yourself out. But I hear what he's saying there. I just think it's a little bit different. And look, not everybody. Like, Igor Afanasyev probably doesn't need to get bigger. Like, he's big enough.
Parsons probably doesn't need to get bigger. Size.
Yeah. He's a good size guy. So it's not all of them, but there are some that come in that probably need to get a little bit bigger just to withstand. I mean, that's the other thing.
Because they're going to be targets.
They're going to be targets, and it's 82 games. That's the big thing. Like, you got to find a way to sustain your body for 82 games, which they've never done before. Like, they've never
right. Even keeping weight on in a season is hard,
right?
You know, because you play so much, and young guys, fast metabolism. So yeah, like Tomasino is a classic. I mean, I don't know how much bigger he can or will get, but like as much as he can add to be able to handle that, and if he's destiny is going to be a top six forward for this team, yeah. You know, moving forward, you got to be able to endure the punishment. Well, look, I mean, he did go through a whole year last year.
Yeah, I mean, look, it'll happen. I mean, I remember when Philip Forsberg came in, which, by the way, yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of the Martin Erat Philip Forsberg trade. But wow. I remember when he came in.
The Twitter era.
Yeah, for sure. That was the conversation on him was he's just got to get bigger. And then
he did.
One off season, he put on like 12 pounds of muscle and he got bigger. And then he
started butt checking people and the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history. So here we are with that, but we'll see. I mean, that's going to be an ongoing thing throughout the next couple of years with some of those guys that they've got to make sure that they get done. I think it's encouraging that, especially like in Evangelista's case, he's this productive without having done that yet. Like, I think that's a very encouraging sign for what he could be as they move forward here. Joe, UConn wins last night in the national title game. They take down San Diego State to cap off a very impressive run in the NCAA tournament. And yet another example of the UConn Huskies showing up in the tournament and just running right through it. And they've done that a few times over the last 25 years.
Yeah, tremendously impressive run. One of the most dominant tournament runs a team has ever had. Still not a blue blood. The next tier under the Blue Bloods.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah. You ask me, they're not a Blue Blood. But, I mean, 5,000 in 25 years is amazing. It's also amazing that 15 times in those 25 years, they didn't even get to the second weekend. And many of those years, they didn't get to the tournament. It's the weirdest profile ever. But, hey, man, when you get there, you take advantage of the opportunity and you win the thing.
I mean.
Tip the cap. That's ultimately what it's about, right?
Wouldn't you much rather be that, though?
Yes. Yes, but I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
Kansas is a blue blood. Okay,
right.
Kansas has been a great dominant program forever, and they have one less championship all time than UConn.
Right,
now, which is insane. But Kansas is a blue blood. UConn isn't. I'm sorry.
But just like a fan, though, like even though the years where you don't make the tournament, it's like, man, this sucks. I'd rather be. Yeah, I'm gonna win. Absolutely.
Oh,
I'll miss the tournament 10 years in a row. I don't care.
Yes. Now, in the midst, in year three of that, yeah, you're pissed, you know.
Dude,
but yes, no. If you actually win titles, yeah, you'll take that. Like, unlike Kentucky. I'm sorry. I knew it was coming.
And Michigan State.
I just waited.
Well, that's right.
Cal and Izzo have the same amount.
They do. That doesn't bother me.
Executive producer, Tom Izzo. 615-737-1025
is our phone number. 615-737-1025. You can keep up with us throughout the day here on 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 1025-1063 The Game.